Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. And I'd like to turn your attention to Psalms. Psalms 33. Verse number 1. David was a man after God's own heart, not because he did everything right, but he always gave God praise and worship. And it had won him many, many battles. Verse number 1 of that chapter 33 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." And then if you turn to Proverbs 11 and 30, familiar scripture, it says, "The fruit of the righteous," or "the benefit of the righteous is a tree of life," or "it'll make you alive. And he that winneth souls is wise." And the word "wise" there means skillful. So God is saying, you know what? Be skillful. There was a lot of time and effort and practice in this choir song, in our instruments that are up here. But there's also some time and effort in order to win souls by what we say and how we approach people. And it seems like nobody ever backslides by witnessing to people or teaching a Bible study. It's the tree of life, if you will. It makes us alive, but we need to do it with some skill and with a joyful noise, if you will. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch upon the word of God this morning. You've touched our worship and you've made it alive. You've joined heaven with earth. And now, God, we ask that you would anoint and bless and touch your word. Let it go forth unhindered, but let us touch us, change us, cause us to elevate our faith to receive what you have for us this morning. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd also like you to turn to 2 Kings, the 12th chapter. Second Kings chapter 12, verse number 1. In the 7th year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign, and 40 years he reigned in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zeba and Bathsheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoadad the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken down. The people still sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. So in other words, you know what? We're trying to do what's right, but there's still some things that we really haven't done or accomplished. I don't want that to be the situation in the church today. And Jehoash said unto the priest, "All of the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passes the account or the number of the people, the money that every man is set at, and all of the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house wheresoever any breach shall be found. But it was so that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priest had not repaired the breaches of the house. Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said unto them, why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. And the priests consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. And Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bore a hole in the lid of it and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priest that kept the door put therein all of the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. And it was so when they saw that there was much money in the chest that the king's scribes and the high priest came up and they put up in bags and told or counted the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and they gave the money being told or counted into the hands of them that did the work that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they lay it out to the carpenters and builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord, and to the masons and hewers of stone, and to buy timber and huge stones to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord, for all that was laid out for the house to repair it. It almost seems like if there's any extra money in our general fund, we're doing something in order to improve the building. We have a parking lot that hopefully we can do some repairs on. And there are so many people who have been faithful, and God has blessed them because of their faithfulness in giving. And to put the new sign out, maybe we could have done without a sign for $28,000, but you know what? It's all about making God's house the best that we possibly can. And through our building fund, we've sacrificed and we gave to the builders and the carpenters and the masons, and we gave it all out in order to make the best that we can, the best looking. I've been in a lot of Pentecostal churches, folks, and frankly, I've never been in one that looks better than this. And that's not being prideful. It's just that we put our priorities in making God's house the best that it could possibly be. But it doesn't end with just the building. Verse 13, howbeit there were not made for the house of the Lord bowls of silver, snuffers, basins, trumpets, any vessels of gold or vessels of silver of the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about really the people. We are the silver. We are the gold. We are the vessels. We are the containers. And we're the trumpets. Yesterday morning at prayer, God spoke to Sister Bear, and she's been having problems with headaches, and from time to time she hasn't been able to play her horn. But in prayer, God said, tomorrow morning, you're going to play your trumpet. And then gave that scripture in Psalms 33:3, play skillfully before the Lord. I'm glad we don't have any last-minute specials that aren't prepared or we haven't put any effort into, but it is always onto the Lord. It's beyond the carpeting, beyond the windows, beyond all of the things that we have sacrificed for in order to make it accommodating for people to walk into this place and know that this is the house of God. It looks like a church. But even though it can look like a church on the outside, it may not look like a church on the inside unless we put those things within it in order to bring revival. Jehoiada had a plan to rebuild the house of God, and you might say this is a plan for revival. Here the godly priest came up with the means to finance a building plan. Through much sacrifice, the neglected house of God is now being rebuilt. Yet in the construction of the temple, certain things went missing. Oh, they were still sacrificing and burning incense in the high places as they knew what to do, but they omitted certain items that used to be in the house of God. It said, "Howbeit there were not made for the house of the Lord vessels of silver and gold, and where are the trumpets?" Oh, I wish I could. I don't know what kind of trumpets they used back there, but they were loud and they got the attention of people. And I'm going to play a little song on this thing this morning. And people are looking like, yeah, that's going to happen. You just wait. That'll get your attention. Hallelujah. Have you been waiting to hear the trumpet? Are you listening for it? Or are we just going about our everyday business and, you know, the church looks pretty good now. We've sacrificed, but now we can kind of sit back. No child of Israel was unfamiliar with that sound. The sound of the trumpet framed every day in what Israel would do. At the crack of dawn, there was a trumpet. When the sun went down, there was a sound of a trumpet. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the trumpet called people to worship. All feasts were marked by the blast of the trumpet. At Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year's, the trumpets sound all day long. The word trumpet or trumpets is used 104 times within the scripture. And we can't overestimate the worth of the trumpet to God's people because God used it in order to signify something great is about to happen. The trumpet spoke to them every day to identify what God wanted them to do. It got their attention and said, "Listen up, here's what I want today." The trumpet was blown before the Ark of the Covenant would ever move. If the ark was about to move, there was going to be a great blast of the trumpet. At the dedication of Solomon's temple, well, I'll tell you what, there stood at the east end of the altar with them 120 priests sounding with the trumpets. And when the trumpets sound, there was a great move of God. There was a cloud that entered into the sanctuary, the temple of God, and the priest couldn't even minister. God's people knew that on the other side of the trumpet blast, there was going to be a move of God. On the other side. What about when Gideon's men sounded their trumpets? You know, really, trumpets, God? 150,000 Midianites, and you give us trumpets? And we're saying, "God, what are you going to do in order to give us victory?" And he said, "Well, I will give you a clear sound." The enemy became confused when Gideon's men sounded the trumpets, and there was a victory, there was a freedom, there was a freedom from oppression, and the whole sound of the trumpets caused the enemy to be confused, and they killed each other. They didn't have to fight at all. All they had to do was blow the trumpet. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Matthew 24? Matthew 24 and verse 31. "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So God has a way of gathering people through the sound of a trumpet. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. In verse number 52. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. I know these are all familiar to each and every one of you. Verse number 16, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So since the trumpets were so important to mark great events within the Bible, it jars our senses when we read in the scripture text that the trump or trumpets were not a priority in the rebuilding of the temple. They thought it was unnecessary in order to have trumpets anymore. It may have frightened people. It may have caused some irritation to some people. Trumpets were blown before every battle, before every feast. Trumpets went before the ark. Jehoiada was thinking, well, we don't need it any longer. But what were you thinking, that there were some areas or some things within the house of God that were unnecessary? Did you really think a trumpetless building could be anointed like Solomon's? Did you think that a ritual could substitute for revival? Listen, back then, no church could make it without a trumpet. What the trumpet was then is what is a preacher today. It has to be a clear sound. It has to be a shout. It has to be a call for a move of God. There has to be a call to, this is where we're going. This is what we're going to do. God's going to take you through this, you see. The trumpets were God's way of getting the attention of people, and preaching is the way of getting attention of God's people, to call them to a higher level, and that is the purpose for the preaching of today. We're saved by the foolishness of trumpets. We are. The preacher makes a clear and distinct sound. It's still one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Separation and holiness is still important, because the word church is ecclesia, meaning the called out ones. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You need to hear the trumpet, and you should get uncomfortable if you don't hear the trumpet sound. Before Jesus came to this world in the flesh, he had a trumpet precede him, and it was John the Baptist. Mark 1 and 3 says John was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. I don't think he was just very reserved. I don't think he was quiet. I think he made a big splash. I think he made a loud noise. He was the trumpet, got the people's attention, gathered them all so Jesus could speak to them. We're doing that this morning. We're gathering people together by the preaching of God's word so God could speak to you in a still, quiet voice, or through the gifts of the Spirit like he did this morning. Before Christ came to each of us, there was a trumpet. Someone who was a voice in the wilderness of this world. God wants to save a lot of people before he comes at the sound of a trumpet, at the sound of a trump. This is not a political message. But wouldn't it be ironic that God used someone with that name in order to gather people to this last few minutes before he comes? But he needs trumpets in the world to make a clear sound. There's too many unclear sounds. You and I were born again to give God a voice in this world. We are trumpets. When darkness comes, sound the trumpet. When sin abounds, sound the trumpet. When the love of many wax cold, sound the trumpet. I spent about an hour and a half with a pastor Friday at lunch, and we came to the conclusion that we need to be louder, we need to be more direct, we need to make a clear sound. According to Ezekiel 33, if we don't make a clear sound like a trumpet, that the souls of those that we are responsible for are going to be judged by us. But if we make the clear sound, then they'll be judged as to whether or not they respond. Jehoiadad, you made the mistake that some are making today. We don't need a trumpet anymore. That's old school. You don't need to tell people. They can find out for themselves. Nothing can take the place of a trumpet. No emergent, convergent, divergent philosophy can bring the clarity of what God wants for each and every one of us than clear sounding sounds from the pulpit. Well, we don't really say that because it could annoy people. Well, trumpets will always annoy people. They get a little loud and cause people to say, wait a minute, what's that sound? John the Revelator was caught up into another world, and how did God speak to him at that time? Well, Revelation 1 and 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. It seems like God is always talking to people through the trumpets. He's always talking to them through the anointed preaching of God's word. Yeah. Hallelujah. Sometimes I wish I was a brother East who obviously doesn't need notes. He just goes around trumpeting, you know. But he gets loud and he gets the attention, and there's an anointing that is upon him. And there needs to be a difference between our preaching and somebody else's preaching. In these last days, God will lead his people by his Spirit to use their voices as trumpets to this world. Nothing is more bold as a trumpet, declaring God is at hand. Jesus is coming. We heard it this morning. We're at the threshold. You know, I've been hearing that for almost 40 years now. I'm coming soon, but we have never seen the signs like we see now. My God will heal. My God will deliver. My God will heal. My God will deliver. I know your marriage is falling apart. My God can fix that. Stage 4, God laughs at that. Nobody else is shouting it. Some feel we should be harps or violins to make people comfortable. Soothe them. God is love, and don't worry about anything. But we are not here just to comfort the afflicted, but also to afflict the comfortable. There should be somebody here who gets a little irritated by the preaching of God's word because it causes them to reevaluate where they are and what they need to do. Thank God for the Miriams who use the tambourines to draw people into a place of worship. Thank God for those who get a little excited and make a joyful noise, but a skillful noise unto the Lord. But the need of the hour is for the Gideons, who blew the trumpet to shake people out of their fear and shake people out of their apathy. You know, well, it's going to be the same service, the same thing year after year after year. I haven't really had a move of God in my life in months or even years. I haven't had that same experience. I haven't spoken in tongues in a whole long time. I never got to the place where I was so paralyzed by the presence of God. And I see others, well, maybe you need to hear the trumpet one more time. Hallelujah. There were seven cities mentioned in Revelation, and there were seven churches, and each church had a trumpet. And to the angel of the church of Ecclesia, you know, there had to be somebody, there had to be someone who made the clear sound. If somehow the pastors are taken out of that position of authority where they're afraid to make a clear sound, then eventually there's going to be a lot of things that will be removed out of the church. Paul said in Romans 10 and 14, how can they hear without a preacher? One day I heard the sound of a heavenly trumpet call me. One day you heard the sound of a heavenly trumpet. You know, I knew it was a sound that I had never heard before, but I knew it was God. I wasn't afraid of it. Someone brought the message to me to begin my walk with God, and ever since that day, I have been listening for a sound of another trumpet that's going to take me out of this world. We can be lulled into sleep if there is no trumpets going on. You know, when I was in the army, every morning I knew when it was time to wake up because there was a trumpet that would sound at the end of the day. Isn't it amazing that even the army knew to use trumpets instead of violins? Hallelujah. We're going to be moving. Get the trumpets out. Could it be that Jehoiada didn't make any trumpets because there was no one to play? Amen. Is there not a cause to be the voice of God in these end times? The voice of God. How shall they escape if they don't hear the trumpet? I hope a message like this resonates with each and every one of us, that we have a responsibility not just to come to church, but to do something with the truth that we have. Hebrews 2 and 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? So we've all learned how to use a trumpet. It's a matter of using it. God is desperately searching for new human trumpets to be a part of his house. God is moving again. That's what the trumpet needs to say. You know, I know what your situation is, but I've got a God. I know a God who can help you. God is with us in battle. Let's celebrate another feast with the trumpet. Get ready. Jesus is coming soon. Most of the denominational world doesn't even understand that Jesus is coming soon because there's no one making a clear sound. The call to be a sacred vessel, the call to be a chosen instrument, a trumpet of God. It's kind of ironic that we don't have any French horns or tubas or saxophones in our church, but we have three trumpets, you know. I'd love to have some more, Brother Dixon, I'd love to have more brass instruments here, but thank God for the three trumpets that we have in our church. Hallelujah. At the close of the Vietnam War, as the North Vietnamese surrounded Saigon, those who would escape were given a 15-page booklet and a map showing helicopter landing zones to pick them up in order to evacuate them out of a very precarious situation. They could lose their lives if they didn't know where to go and who is going to pick them. Do you know where to go and who's going to pick you up? You know, we're going to evacuate this place because it's getting worse and worse. And God has said, hey, you know, I've given you a map. I've given you a book. And there is going to be a very clear sound as to when I'm going to take you out of this place, folks. Maybe the enemy doesn't understand it, but we know the sound that's going to take us out of here. It's going to be the very last sound that we hear on this earth. Hallelujah. They were told to tune to 8:20 a.m. and listen for a certain sound. The sound of someone saying, the temperature in Saigon is 105 degrees and rising. Followed by Bing Crosby singing White Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. That's not our song, by the way. Some of you are finishing the song. That's wonderful. On the morning of April 29th, 1975, the code went out. No one knows the day or the hour, but God has already set the code. The song was played. It was time to leave. And those that heard the code and the song raced to be picked up by the helicopters. Over the years, I have been giving out the code to as many people as I possibly can, because I want God to pick up a few more. I want them to be ready to hear the sound and the code. I want them to know all about the map and that God is going to evacuate us. It's getting worse and worse, and that means God's coming sooner than we can possibly imagine. Have you been listening? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, meaning a blast of trumpet that will cause a tremor. I don't know if he'll actually be speaking words through the trumpet. Maybe he has designed it that when you hear the trumpet, it's going to call your name. And all of a sudden, gravity has no effect on you at all. This world has no pull on you at all. And all of a sudden, your feet are going to leave this place, and we're going to evacuate. We're going to leave this world. But if you're not listening to the sound of the trumpet, if you're too busy with your plans, then we which are alive, and that's key, because you better be alive, not twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Hallelujah. I said something yesterday at prayer. If you were here, forgive me for repeating it, but my wife and I bought a little apple tree in the spring, and it was so beautiful, had so many leaves on it. It stood about 10 foot tall, maybe about an inch and a half in diameter. I put it in the front of our yard because it looked so beautiful. But within a month and a half, almost every leaf fell off of it. Maybe three leaves that were on it. And I was going to take it back to the nursery, but I lost the receipt. And they said, well, unless you have a receipt, but it's not going to live, you know. And so we bought a different tree and put it in that place, and it's very pretty. But we took that tree and we put it in the back of our yard, in a corner. And I thought, if it lives, it lives. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And we watered it and took care of it. And all of a sudden, leaves start popping out all over the place. And Saturday morning, I looked at the tree, and there were blossoms on the tree. Now, this tree is very confused because it went through dormancy. And we're talking about fall coming up, folks, and this tree is thinking it's spring. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone back to that tree and I looked at it and I thought, that is so cool. That is so neat. And there are some people who have gone dormant. But they need
to be made alive again and blossom with the fruit that God wants to give them. We which are alive and remain shall be caught or to lift up to take for oneself, caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We will be caught up together in clouds. Why clouds? Because we're all going to put on the same white robes. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Truly, it's going to be a white Christmas. It's going to be a time when God is going to give us gifts and rewards like no man has ever seen. It's getting too hot down here, for the temperature is rising and there's riots and there is all kinds of floods and forest fires and financial collapse and terrorism that's happening, and it's getting hotter and hotter, and I'm getting more anxious for God to evacuate. We're going to be evacuated, and the last thing we will hear is the voice of the Lord and the sound of a trump. The last thing we're going to hear. I wonder if this morning is the last preaching you'll hear. You don't know. You don't know. It's time to look for missing trumpets and get them back in the house of God, because we can't have church without them. Because you can't build a house for God without trumpets. Our last scripture, if you'll turn to Revelation 4, your musicians would come. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1, it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and how many? One sat on the throne." I need more people to understand who Jesus is, because they're going to need to hear the sound of the trump and the evacuation of this world. Oh, yes, we can make our plans. Oh, yes, we can have our families. Yes, we can do all of those things. But, you know, we always need to be listening for the sound of the trump. Hallelujah. Is there a message for me Sunday morning? Is there a message for me on Sunday night? Is there a clear sound that I need to hear on Wednesdays? I think it'll make you safer when you're always listening for the sound of the trump. Hallelujah. I wonder if God just isn't in his special way saying to the entire world right now, sound of last trump, getting close. You better get ready. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Over the years, I've had people come to me and say, "Pastor, if you see something in my life that's just not right, I will give you permission to talk to me about it. Tell me. Because when this is all over, I've got to be saved. I've got to be there. I've got to be at the helicopter pad, if you will, and this is it. I want to leave from the church." Jacob said, "I didn't realize it, but this was the gateway to heaven, the rock, the place." What grieves me is there have been times where people have been in the church for
a long time, but you know what? They no longer want me to tell them what they need to do. I don't need to hear that trumpet anymore. See, we can have church without that, you know, you're just so judgmental. Just leave me alone. Let me be comfortable. No, we're too close to the end. We should be running faster than when we started. We can't begin this in the spirit and end in the flesh. I said to somebody a couple of months ago that came up to the altar and was saying, oh, what a presence of God in this place. That, Pastor, that was a great message. And they come occasionally, just come occasionally. And I said, could I make application to be your pastor? And I ask you, this morning, could I be your pastor? Would you allow this sound to resonate within your life? It's for your protection. It's not the takeaway, it's the give. God is in addition, He's not in subtraction. But you have to give me permission. Would you give me permission to preach it? Not watered down, not sugared up, not homogenized, but just pure, unadulterated, undefiled Word of God that saved generations before us and will save this generation, folks. The altar's open. Would you come?